All right, we got nothing to hide. But you know, it'll take a minute, I think, to come up as it cycles through some things. And oh, I think I got more stuff there. So so that will come through to me to update. And while I'm waiting for that, you know, I wanted to mention that we have a public contact for you know, that's displayed on the website. And if I could go back to that, to the search results, see if it works. Yeah. So we also have the meeting contact information, and we are concerned about people's anonymity. And you have, you know, the choice of what information to put here. Again, this is the public information. So we have public information that's available. So if someone's traveling and goes to a town and they want to say, hey, geez, I'm in Boca Raton, where's there a meeting? They can click this and they can get my email. They get my email. So from time to time, I get emails that, you know, say, hey, I'm in Boca. Is that meeting still happening? Is it a good meeting? Can I go to that? And so this is great, you know, to make available to people. But there's also a private contact, and that's the one that we need your email for. So we need your email so you could update your own meeting now. So if you're a group contact, you know, we really need the email so that you could update that meeting going forward. So there may be a transition period where you didn't put the email, or the person moved and they're no longer there. So we're going to have issues to work through with that. But that's, you know, I think that, you know, the better approach, you know, to do, to be safe, to make sure the right person is updating that meeting, than to let anyone send an update in for the meeting. And the with that is, we really could use the help of the intergroups who know the meetings to be able to give us the meeting information. So I believe, like I said, there has been four different versions of the meeting list recently. And previously, a country or intergroup could give a file and say, hey, here's all my verified meetings. Please make sure this is the same information. So I'm going to reinstitute that and ask intergroups, regions, countries who can be responsible for their own meetings to give us a bulk file periodically. And we'll make sure it's correct on the WSO website. Anyway, so particularly for like the issue that Margaret mentioned about, you know, Sweden, you know, she went onto the website in Sweden to find out how many meetings they had, but they're not on our website. So she could talk to them and say, hey, please give us your 500 meetings and we'll import them, and we'll have the same meetings, and we'll ask them, you know, quarterly, twice a year, to send us an update of their meetings, and we'll make sure that we're in sync, and we won't have to do this manually. You know, we could use technology to help us out a little bit.
Jim?
Yes.
Jody from Texas 119. Do we send that information to a specific email address?
We have two email addresses right now, and I'm thinking we may simplify them. Right now, I believe we have, we have a little confusing because we have adultchildren.org and acawso.org and acawso.com. So yeah, that information about which one to put on there will be, you know, clearly communicated and easy to find. Once we make that decision of what it is, we will be certainly letting you know and have it available on the website. I just wanted to say one more thing. As far as the intergroup information, we want to make the intergroup registration process easier and make that a better form on the new website, as well as the designated literature person for that intergroup who's able to purchase the 30% discount stuff. We want to make that, you know, seamless and a lot easier and automated as well. And at this point, I'm going to check my email while you guys ask questions.
Why don't you go?
Diane. Did you want us to update yearly to you or each group? Like, do you want us to tell you that our group is still going every year, like once a year?
Yes, we do.
And how do you want us to do that?
Well, as I mentioned, see, if you look on the screen here, I don't know if you can see my email. So I got this email that says, please check here's the update link. and it will expire in 12 hours. So this link here will now allow me to update the meeting. So we want you to periodically to do that. And we maintain a field that says last review date. So after it's old for a year, we will start to communicate to you.
Okay.
Your meeting is over, hasn't been updated in a year. Please verify it.
Okay, good.
We will not remove it ourselves, which we do now. So right now we have an expired date. And if your meeting goes past the expired date, we take it off the website automatically.
And where's the expiry date? How do you know where to find it?
The the search results now show that right on the website,
okay.
Last updated
date.
And so the critical piece is making sure we have the right contact in our database, so we're sending the email to the right people. So if you've had transition or rotation and you're not sure who that is, you know, that's why we have a primary and a secondary. So try to use both the primary and the secondary in case one person does, you know, migrate out and you can't get them and you don't have access to their email anymore. We still have a second one that we could say, okay, we know this is correct. And so I hope that answers your question. And you were waiting?
So two things. One, I know in another fellowship I'm in, so I saw the thing about the displaying the daily meditations on the website. In another fellowship I'm in, you can actually sign up to have it sent to your email. So because it's supposed to go into it, it can come to you. Is that something y'all have thought about?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. And it's one of the things we're looking at our MailChimp setup and see how we could make that so you'll have an account and you'll be able to opt in to daily meditation, Calmline, and Traveler.
Awesome. Second thing, just on the meeting update thing, so not a theoretical, but an actual, this is happening with my home group right now. The person who was listed as the primary contact has stopped coming to the meeting and disappeared. So some other people are like, I guess somebody else needs to be it. So they submit it in the current system. You know, I mean, it wasn't entirely clear how to resolve this. So I think, you know, and I was trying to keep out of it a little bit because I, you know, was trying to mind my own business. But, you know, we decided to make it. One person submitted the form once with the primary, and then the secondary submitted it again with the secondary. So it's two pieces of information, and I'm not sure how that gets confirmed. And in the new system, if I'm not sure how it works, if the current primary has up and vanished or does not respond or has an abandoned email address.
Sorry about all the problems you've had with the old system. We're saying goodbye. And, you know, there's been lots of problems with the old system. Hopefully we could address it in the new system. The new approach is going to be you have to convince myself and one or two other people that you're the contact for that meeting. So we're going to have a primary contact and a secondary contact. Hopefully one of those is valid. If not, you know, you're going to have, you know.
I mean, will there be a way to sort of...
I'm open to suggestions.
Yeah, so you could say, look, you know, the normal process isn't working here, so at least there's a button or something so you know where to reach out.
Well, it's going to be an email,
okay.
And then it's going to have to maybe be a phone call conversation, and... yeah, you could say, hey, I'm the, you know, I was 33 at the at the ABC I don't know.
And I'm probably going to regret saying this, but I may have had some experience doing bulk meeting in another fellowship.
Yay!
Tom, PAO 143. Can you tell me, my group recently, the landlord moved and took us with him, so we went to a new location. And the meeting time changed by half an hour. We put it into the website as a change, and it said X amount of time till it's updated, and a few people missed the meeting, some newcomers that were trying to attend, and some old people that didn't know we moved. What approximately do you think is going to be the turnaround time till the information is going to be updated under this process?
Perfect lead-in. So I did get my email, and I did click the button, and now I have a form on the screen. And I had V2 in here, and that's obviously not my group name. Who put that V2 in? And I actually did have the wrong time, so my meeting is at 5:30. and we'll click submit. And it's going for approval, it says. So it's not updated automatically. It's going for approval. And we go to the dashboard. So I expect this should be done quite frequently. But we have our statistics page that shows us all the number of meetings that we have, expired meetings. And we're supposed to have meetings that need review. I don't see it here. But anyway, so we have a meeting update request. This is the one I just made. Come over here. I review it. I've got the old information, the original information here, the new information, and I approve it. And that's how long it took actually to do, and I think we should be able to get to a reasonable number of days. You know, that's not a big number, not double digits. So I think we should be able to do that pretty quickly.
David, 349, if I am not mistaken, you referred to that there's a shelf life on the current meetings, that if they don't renew them every year, they just delete them.
Well, it's not deleted. There's an expired date.
Yeah.
And like a little logo that's displayed that says this meeting is out of date. Please update it.
Yeah.
So we visually show that on the meeting list, but if no one's looking, you know, no one knows that it's out of date and they don't do anything about it. So I turned that feature off by, you know, putting all the meeting dates out a year in the future. None of them would expire, knowing that I was going to replace that system and never do that again. So we don't have to worry about meetings expiring right now.
To a little bit prematurely start cutting off groups who are listed because they didn't renew, looking for trouble, really. Normally, like if nobody changes their phone number, then they don't advise of a change. If you're not advised of a change within a group, why wouldn't you just assume that everything is okay?
Okay, well, let me reiterate. The policy to remove meetings is canceled. We are not removing meetings anymore.
Okay, good. Oh, all right. Good news.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Greg from Texas 131. In response to the question about people that transition out of a position and you no longer have access to their email, what we've done is at the intergroup level, because we have a website, we've gone ahead and issued a separate email address for each of those groups that we advise them to use when they're setting up their meeting information. The challenge is getting people to use them, but we're slowly getting there. Thank you.
Carol, Region 2, troublemaker. I noticed up there that you had Orange County intergroup change, and they think, you know, just like we do, we can read each other's minds and, you know, we're ACA, that if they tell WSO there's a change, even though they're registered with the GWU, which, by the way, is the Greater Western United States region, otherwise known as Region 2, that we know that. So is there any way we can get, you know, intergroups also for meetings? Can we get the information when World Service gets it so that we can change our stuff?
Internally, there should be no problem, sharing meeting information with
automatically, so that we don't have to keep checking.
Well, I don't know what their website is. We'd have to talk with someone. Like I said, I'm willing to take information from other places to verify it. So I think it should be the other way around. I think the region should be sending me the information, right?
We can't get a hold of them if they change their information and don't tell us. And they tell you. And we would then not have we don't have the secondary. We only have the public information. That's all we have. Same with the intergroups.
Okay. Well, I would ask you what... So your region website, what you're showing meetings information also?
the region has people that are reps to the region, okay? And they are listed, usually there's somebody, you know, or we have somebody from their intergroup that we can get a hold of. But if the information about who's going to be doing that changes, like they're the secondary on the intergroup listing, we don't know that because they don't tell us because they think we know that. You got it? Because it's private, we can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet
I can't share someone's private contact information with you, right? I mean, that wouldn't mean it's not private anymore.
She has a question that might help me.
Are you talking about you duplicate the information from the meetings, pull it down to your site to be more helpful to your audience?
No.
Sorry,
It's just for internal our work, so we can keep track of the people we're working with, our region reps and the intergroup reps. We can't get them anymore. They don't know that they have not given us the information because they give it to you, and they don't bother to get in touch with us. And then they wonder why we don't talk, you know, we don't tell them things.
Sure. Well, we could put something in the registration process that says this information. Right now we say this information will not be shared. We could say it will be shared with, you know, regions, you know, internally with regions and stuff, and then we can make that information available to you. And
that would be wonderful.
Yep.
Bonnie's clapping silently over there.
She's whispering. She was whispering in my ear, telling me what to say. Yes, thank you, everyone.
That concludes all of the committee reports. So now we'll go to 11 o'clock this morning. And I forgot to say when I come back, for all you non-Canadians, hi, eh? Technology demonstration for voting. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought we covered that already. But okay. Like I said, I had grand plan, and I'll show you what the grand plan consists of. Okay, so some information was shared with me about a polling site that we could vote remotely via the computer and via text messaging. And so we actually, this is the simple demo I was going to do. I was going to put some other things about cats and dogs, but it was stolen earlier today. And so here's our question. It's on, there's a website, pollev.com. So if you have a smart device or a computer and you go to pollev.com/ACAWSO, you should be able to see a poll question. So, you know, again, this was something that we were thinking of potentially, or something like this, using for, you know, what's possible as we go into the voting and discussion on remote participation for the ABC. So I guess suffice to say that it is possible, and we can share as much of the proceedings here as we'd like, and it's just the more you want to share and the better you want to share it, the more it's going to cost. This service was $80 per month for us to be able to put up a remote poll to under 100 people. So, you know, again, if we were doing a real voting for an ABC motion right now, we could have people signed in via email into this poll EV site and collect their votes. We could say, okay, we're discussing this, and hopefully they'd be, you know, listening in and hearing us and know the discussion, and we'd turn the voting on, and anyone around the world would be able to vote as long as they were registered and we had their validated email. And then we would tally it up. We would turn it off after a period of time. We'd tally it up, and we'd know, you know, what the vote was, and we'd have a worldwide vote on something from all registered ABC participants. And having said that, so the technology is possible. We'll have to spend some money to get a really good quality sharing of video, audio, and remote voting possibility. And at the end of the day, once we have money, I think the technology piece is the easy piece. And it's my poor friends at the OPPM committee who are going to have to decide when they could register, when you could stop registering, and all those logistics, and communicate that clearly to the whole fellowship so people know all those steps and deadlines and time frames. So there's a technology piece, and there's also a communication and process piece.
Hi, Tom from Toronto. Jim, could we see what the results look like? Could we see what the results look like? Maybe people have had a chance.
That would be nice.
Already a few entries. And the other thing I wanted to ask is I wanted confirmation that we can lock down a poll so that only registered people can access it, because this poll is open to the public, which is great for a demo, but I just wanted to confirm.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of configuration and setup, and this is the results right here.
And
someone had 99. They're a brave. Yep, they've been around a while.
someone raised the point. Also, we can definitely lock this down to only one vote per account, and when we lock a poll down to being private, we can restrict it to only one vote per person.
Yes, one vote per person, and that they would be on a list of emails which we set and determine. So I would imagine we'd say, okay, April 1st is the deadline to say to register to be part of the ABC. And there'd be a registration process and a verification process. And then once we have that set of emails, those are the only ones who could log in. They'd have passwords, and they'd be able to vote once per motion.
Anything else for Jim? Thank you. Okay, we're going to get ready to do the first proposal, but I have to do some house cleaning here first. I'm under the impression by a couple of people that there are paddles in the hands of non-delegates. So non-delegates, if you got a paddle, get rid of it. Only those that have a paddle and are a delegate can vote. Two ladies on the end here, I haven't been introduced yet, but they are your counters. So what we got? And as good as I am with names, I don't remember the young lady from New York.
As long as I'm happy.
She is the counter. Yeah. Timer. Same thing. 120 seconds count. You have 2 minutes to speak on the mic and speak. If you're back up again for the second time, you have 1 minute. I would caution calling the vote early, because it'll just cause chaos. and you won't have enough time to thoroughly discuss the motion without all the information needed for it. That's my next one. And I must say, before we start this out, and not only because I'm her worst half, Marge is a volunteer. She's not a member, but she's gratefully helping us out for the last 2 days, helping Marcia out with the minutes. Right, all hail the Queen. All right, are we ready to start? The first proposal? What? I'm sorry, yes?
Proposals are not formatted as motions.
Going to get to here.
Okay. They need to be, I was under the impression they get discussed and then a motion may come out of the discussion.
Nope. These are proposals. These are not motions. So if they are to be voted and talked about, they have to be turned into a motion.
That's a procedural question because in 2015, the board clarified that there would be a discussion first and there may or may not have a motion come out of that discussion. There were three proposals that year that the discussion led to no motion.
Okay. Is that agreeable to everybody? General, show of hands. Okay.
I don't understand. Sorry. Like, what's going on?
Hold your water. First proposal. Yes.
I just believe that the question revolves around, can you just have a discussion around something, kick it around, see where it goes, and then make a motion? Or do you have to make a motion for it to be on the floor, to have validity to discuss, et cetera, et cetera? And in this environment, it would be my thought that you could just make a proposal and discuss it around. If you make an emotion, that's formal. You got to go through all sorts of procedure.
What happens?
Discussions often will get you to where you want to go more efficiently.
Okay. All right.
Question? Point of clarification? No?
Oh. 35. Jody, Texas. 35.
In your experience, is one approach more efficient than the other?
At the General Service Conference in New York, committees meet days and days before and come up with their motion, so they've discussed things to death, and they come with their motion, and there is some discussion on the floor around the motion, but a lot of it's been done in a forum such as this where you no one's got experience, particularly with what's coming up. I think it would be my opinion that just a proposal, you know, would do you better, would serve you better. Miles is the chairperson, or anybody could really stand up and sort of say after a certain amount of discussion, we've really kind of kicked this thing around to death. Does somebody want to make a motion? Can I take a sense of the room? That's sort of leading it a bit better, but I think proposal would work better for you here, but it's your meeting and you can do whatever you want if you wanted to vote on that.
Carol, Region 2. Years ago, I went to an ABC in Ontario, California, and we divided up into groups to talk about proposals, just one proposal and like three groups. And then we would come up with a speaker from each group. We had a large, this was back in the day, we had great big, huge, monstrous ABCs. And we came back and the three people or four people talked, and then we came up with a motion and then we voted on it. It worked out wonderfully.
Okay. The only reason, I have to clarify this, the only reason why I think it should go straight to a motion is these have been public knowledge for X amount of months. We all know what they're talking about. We all know what the proposal is. That's the only reason why I'm suggesting if we're going to discuss it on the floor that we go to a motion. If that doesn't work for anybody, let me know. 33.
Yeah, I would just, in support of that, I mean, if you go straight to a motion, you get a second, you can go into discussion, and you can talk about it.
What I'm getting at. Sometimes I don't explain exactly what I'm trying to say, but that was it. Especially when I'm tired. So proposal number five made it to the to this part. This part, is that going to be turned into a motion? 36.
Hi, Cheryl, Intergroup 558. So the motion I propose is that WSO look into adding intergroup and meeting group web links into the WSO website directory listings on www.adultchildren.org.
Second, hold it. It's higher up. 33 is seconded. 36 is motion.
38.
That's what I said.
I said 33.
38 is seconding, 36 is motion. That's what I said, huh? Oh, did I? I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Bill D, number seven, representing Florida 158. I have a little reservation about putting other entity, autonomous entity links on the WSO website. We are not responsible for the content on those websites. It's not supervised by WSO. We have no idea what's on those websites. And if they violate the traditions and it comes back to us because the person came to the link through our organization's website, I have a real concern with that. And the other thing is that we're not able to make sure that all of these links remain active over a period of time, that they're good. And I think that, you know, groups come and go, and it might be a management nightmare trying to keep those all updated. And I think it's something that the groups and intergroups can do locally, regions.
So I read this proposal, I read the action being to look into, if you read the verb, to look into. So my guess is that if this passes, we create a committee that looks into. So it's a very light, gentle.